Hi, and welcome to Northwest Book Talk on KXRW 99.9 FM. I'm your host, Patty Grasher, where we connect readers with the authors and stories shaping our community. Today, I'm joined by Temple Lentz. She's a nonprofit CEO, a local elected official, and now she's an international award-winning novelist. I impress. The book, Not Quite Home, explores what happens when two women from very, very different worlds come together to tackle one of today's most pressing issues, housing and community. Temple brings a unique perspective, blending real-life civic experience with storytelling. And I'm excited to talk with her about how fiction can open the door to meaningful conversation. So welcome, Temple, to the program.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
So what inspired you to write Not Quite Home at this point in your life?
Oh, goodness. I would say I didn't set out to write exactly this novel, but during the pandemic, like during the height of the pandemic, when everything was shut down, I was serving in local elected office. I was on the county council, and we had moved entirely remote. So like a lot of people who were lucky enough to have jobs they could do from home, I was stuck at home and had more free time than I expected. So looking for something productive to do with my time, not just making sourdough bread or just watching endless bits of Netflix, which don't get me wrong, I did. I decided to start doing some writing exercises. I've always been a writer and I've always said, oh, I want to write something longer, but I don't have time. And I no longer had that excuse. So I started, and just what ended up coming out was what I was thinking about and seeing at the time. So I started thinking about a novel that featured women living and working together and solving big problems with each other's support. And I also was on the Board of Public Health at the time, and I was getting really frustrated at how hard it was to get things done on the county council, on the Board of Health, to serve people in the community. The county is the local funding source for homeless and human services. We also have a couple of big agencies that serve the community and rely on those funding sources. But when everything was shut down, the people who were being hurt the most were the people who had the least. And that was really on my mind. And I was volunteering with some local efforts to help folks as both a way to get me out of the house, but also to serve in an additional way beyond just sitting behind my computer. In my life and in my mind, and this story just kind of came together. And it was also inspired by real people in Vancouver, Washington, who were doing some things to really make some big strides.
What kind of grabs me about this novel, and I'll just say it, is that it reads so dang well.
I so appreciate that.
I was like, oh my gosh, when I first like talked to you about doing this book, and I was thinking, I don't know that I'm that interested in the, you know, in the homeless and stuff. It's like they're right there and in your face. And how could that be made into such a good book? You know, it's like, is this going to be a preaching book? You know, like whatever. Not, you know, it's so engaging. It's like, I was just, usually I try to get a hold of the books and read them ahead of time as much as I can. So I've got like, okay, I'm on chapter 18 in 2 days. It's like, and it was like, I am a cozy book person, you know, and I thought, oh, this is going to be really dry, but oh my gosh, you are just really good. I'm just so excited about your book because I really do think it's going places. Tell me a little bit about how you got that international award, because I totally agree with it.
Oh, well, thank you. So it's an International Impact Book Award. And I mean, to be completely frank, working with my publisher, you know, we look around for awards, like, you know, it'd be amazing to win a National Book Award, but I don't think that's going to happen, you know, but there's lots of different awards to recognize different kinds of books. And so this was one where we looked at what the criteria were for entering, you know, a good, well-written book, but that deals with issues of impact. And I was like, well, that sounds like this book. So working with my publisher, we got it submitted. And then, a lot of times like that, whenever you enter any kind of a contest, you're like, well, that'd be nice to win, but then you forget about it. And I actually did forget that we'd even entered. And then when I got the notification, it was so exciting.
What did the notification say?
Well, that I was one of the winners. So it was just, you know, and it's nice to be recognized for that. I mean, you know, it certainly feels good. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the fact that people are enjoying this book. It makes me feel really good about what I created. But since it is about one of the biggest problems of our time, I'm glad that it's getting recognition for addressing those issues as well.
Oh, that's what I think, because it gets to the heart of the people who are suffering, and it helps put a more, I don't want to just say human face, a more love-filled face, that everybody has a hard road to walk on, you know, no matter what circumstances they are in. But some of us certainly have a much harder road to walk. And I do feel like the homeless, we kind of, our first thing is like either not pay attention to them or saying, oh, it's all your fault. When times, especially in this era of our governing life, where there's so many programs are shut down and people who really need help are not getting it, there's no place for them to go. And yeah, it just puts a heart to it. It also, I think, like a need, you know, like you have this really rich lady and you have this person who's right off the streets working her way up, and you put those two together. How hard was that to do, to blend the rich and the poor kind of thing in one book?
You know, it was interesting because both of the main characters are inspired by people I know. And I mean, they're inspired by, not necessarily based on, in the sense of I didn't, you know, I was writing fiction. And once you, as you know, when you write fiction, it starts to kind of just go in its own direction. But I really liked the idea of this sort of kind of odd couple and unlikely allies, because that is actually the story of the people that I was inspired by. There's a philanthropist here locally who decided that homelessness was his major cause, that he was going to try to really move the needle on helping people who are unhoused. And there's a woman that I know here who has been an outreach worker, currently working for the city, helping their homeless assistance efforts. And two of them met because he was helping support some of her efforts. And they're the funniest pair as far as just sort of, you know, two different worlds colliding. But that combination of different experiences, both, you know, supporting each other, but also the friction of bouncing off of each other, is just seemed really rich for a novel. Like, that's conflict is where you go. So,
you know, and I, another thing that comes out with the book is that it's so original. You know, there's so many ways, at least I get bombarded all the time with, you know, write a novel, follow these steps, and make sure you have this filled out, the background and the characters and all this. And you do such a good job of that, but it feels like it's just more from the heart than from the textbook.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate that. And it did. I feel like the characters in it really, they did sort of develop lives of their own. And one of the when I realized, oh my gosh, I'm writing a book that's about the homeless, that's a, you know, not going to be the best selling point. People, just like you were saying, it's like, it's such a hard issue. People who want to read fiction to escape may not think that's the first choice. So I really wanted to really base it around the characters and their experiences, because that's also what I found in the volunteering and the conversations I was doing. You know, there's a lot of folks who are sort of the first thing you see is the bad example, and the folks who are maybe causing trouble. But the majority of people who are living unhoused are people who have had a really rough go of it, and they're just trying to figure things out. And they need some help to do so, whether, you know, and sometimes it's just like a place to stay for a night, and sometimes it's some more systemic help. But, you know, everyone is an individual, and I really wanted to draw attention to that.
Yeah, I built on that individuality, because even though it's about two characters, you do bring in the other characters very strongly. At least you kind of know who's who in the book. It's like sometimes I feel like I need a pad and pencil to keep who's who. But you really have these different characters. And I think maybe because they actually are based on people that are real. So how did you work that these two women come together and solve problems one after the other? Were there any difficult points in the book that you found like, oh, how do I make this work?
You know, I don't want to give away a lot, because one of the places that just came to mind is closer to the end of the book. And I don't necessarily want to go into the real specifics of it. But one of the things that I thought about, you know, going on the formula of novel writing, one of the things is that you want your characters to have some kind of a journey, that they end the book in a different place than they began. And I had a lot of difficulty initially. So the philanthropist character in the book is named Claire, and she's a wealthy widow, and she's been giving and giving to nonprofits more for the show of it, that this is just what society women do. And she wasn't really connected to it, but she had a little bit of an awakening at the very beginning of the book that she wanted to do things differently. But I had a hard time initially making her a sympathetic character, just with all of her privilege, her kind of coming in and sweeping in. At the very beginning, she was sort of like, well, let me see if I can solve this problem by throwing some money at it. And she learned over the course of the book that complicated problems have complicated solutions. But I really struggled with finding a path for her to grow. And I ended up doing it. And she makes some choices in the book that I've been told by readers they're just baffled by the arrogance and privilege of some of the decisions she makes. I think she comes out well in the end. She works through them. I struggled with her because I really wanted her to be real. And it's that's the position. While I'm not a millionaire, so I didn't have the easiest time putting myself in her head.
What I liked about Claire, and I was drawn to Claire from the very beginning, is that you bring in almost a mystical part of with Claire, in that she has this connection with her deceased husband that I think really makes her see things as see her loneliness, her trying to be real, even though she's, you know, had all this privilege. And I think bringing in that mystical part, I was really intrigued by that. It wasn't just a factual thing. It was like, okay, here's this rich lady who's having these conversations with her husband, who's almost like the third character in the book in some way, but he's not really there, but he is. And you know, at least at this point of the book, I don't know where, you know, how that develops, but I think that was a brainstorm idea, to bring in this connection that she had with her own life before she ever made it into, you know, being a person that helps the homeless.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you mentioned that. So yeah, her husband's death is part of what kind of helps spur her into her action at the beginning of the book. And that conversation with him throughout the book helps propel her along. And I just sort of, you know, in thinking about her life and sitting with her while I was writing, I was thinking, there's this woman who, you know, they were best friends and lovers and the closest connection. And then, you know, to lose that and be alone in this gigantic house and suddenly questioning everything now that the person you were closest to is no longer there. I know that maybe this is somehow how I'm similar to Claire. Like, I'll have ongoing conversations in my head, sometimes with an actual person who's not there, sometimes just kind of with myself. But she was so used to talking to him regularly that those conversations just continued.
Yeah, and it's very real. It doesn't seem affected, you know. So tell me a little bit about, you have such a strong political life, and I know you didn't write a book to be like, stand up to your new ex-political platform, but what do you want readers to come away with in your book?
Oh, goodness. That it is possible to tackle big problems, and often small solutions are the way to get there. I mean, this book doesn't solve the problem of homelessness. It solved some problems for a few fictional women, you know? But I, in working in government, one of the things that was most surprising and difficult for me was how hard it was to make small changes that advance toward a bigger solution. It's just that bureaucracy can get in the way. Now, I'm somebody who believes in the power of government to make people's lives better. That's why I am involved in government. But it can be hard, especially with big intractable problems that have so many threads throughout the community. It's not just a housing problem. It's not just a poverty problem. It's not just an addiction problem. It's all of these things and other things all woven together. But often we find our people in elected positions and in leadership roles in the service side of government and the staff who really dig in their heels and get in the way of getting things done and get in the way of solutions. And I drew some attention to that in the book. And the political characters don't necessarily come out well in the book. Often I feel that's because government can get disconnected from the people it's supposed to serve. So I encourage folks to get involved in their government and to, especially at the local level where it's more possible, you know, hold it accountable, but also participate. That just being a critic doesn't advance us, but critical thinking and being involved to be a part of making things better. If we all do a little bit, we can move forward.
Yes, because one of the critical points of your book that you bring in these critical points from those people who don't agree with what you're doing. It's like, it's okay for somebody else in some other place, you know, in some other situation, but not in front of my home where my kids are being raised. And that is so real. And that's such a, you know, you can almost understand it. It's like, I don't know, in a different way. I remember my younger sister was in the military and I was just, you know, fine with that. And then there was some kind of military engagement where she would actually be taken into, you know, a bad situation. And all of a sudden I was like totally changed thinking. And I've been in the military myself, but it was like, it's so different when, you know, when the rubber meets the road. It's like all of a sudden you find these ingrained thoughts that you had that you were such a noble person. All of a sudden it's like they take a backseat to, oh my God, I might lose my sister, or, you know, or this might affect my child or something. You see that. And I think you kind of bring that out, but there are two sides to the issues. Both have valid points, even though they're like blocking what wants to happen. You can still kind of see their side of the story. And I appreciate that you brought that out, that you, it wasn't just a Pollyanna story, Pollyanna. It was a story that everybody has their own understanding of what they want and what needs to be done, kind of thing. So what do you think about living in Vancouver has influenced your writing and your work? Not only the political, you know, involvement that you are in, but just the plain Northwest kind of charism that there is here.
You know, I think that the Pacific Northwest in general, I'm going to start bigger and then get more narrow. The Pacific Northwest in general is a really interesting place to be. Here on the kind of the west side of the state, things lean a little bit more liberal and progressive than on the eastern side of the state. So there's maybe a little more motivation to fund social service and those kinds of things. But we also have a lot of smaller cities and towns. We're not, with Vancouver specifically, we're right next to Portland, which is a bigger city, and is having a lot of trouble dealing with these issues. And they're working on it. They're trying. They have more progressive solutions than maybe some more conservative places, but it's still a struggle. And that's, I think, because, you know, that government bureaucracy and these barriers where people insist that it's my way or no way, and then nothing gets done. But Vancouver is an interesting city. So we're about 200,000 people now, and the county itself is about 500,000. And this is a big enough city to have big city problems, but it's still small enough that you can actually do things and you can actually make a difference. And from being involved in government and going to conferences where I learned about counties of different sizes and cities of different sizes and what all of these other people around the country are dealing with, one thing that I saw as kind of a through line is these mid-size cities from, you know, 100 to 300,000 people really kind of have this sweet spot of being able to grapple with the problems they have because it's not so big that things are out of control. And that's something that I found when I moved to Vancouver about 20 years ago, and I wasn't even involved in politics yet, was just, this is a place where if you have an idea, the ability to see it through, like just your own inner strength to say, I'm going to try this and I'm going to try to make it happen. You can actually do things here. Not so big that you get lost, but we're not so small that there's nowhere to go. I think this is just a wonderful place with really interesting people doing creative things. And I'm really, really happy to be in Vancouver. And I don't think I could have written this book if I lived somewhere else.
Yeah, I think it does come through that environment kind of builds our characters in many different ways. So what about getting back to your book? So how has the book had an impact on you and on others? I mean, were you expecting it to be the success that it is?
Well, I appreciate that as far as success. I mean, it's still a small book with a small publisher. So anybody who's reading happily would love to have you read it. I'm so happy that it's being well received. Just like your kind words about it and it being a good read. I mean, that was one of my biggest goals. It was like, it can do all the social work at once, but if nobody reads it or finishes it, then it doesn't really do any good. So I really worked hard to make it a very readable, consumable book. And it's just very gratifying when you put something out there that's yours to have people appreciate it.
Yeah, I want to say something about how finishing the book is like, okay, you've been radio and things like that, and you're always pressed for time to get everything done. But it's like, okay, this book I am finishing. I'm just like, I have to find out what happens. It's not a political book to me. I mean, it's a story, and it's like I said, I always want to live in this cozy world because we don't really live in a cozy world. I'm always looking for escape fiction, and you make the story like a fun story. I think. I mean, as far as, you know, it has some big issues, but you also make it engaging. So do you have any plans to do a follow-up? Because I love these characters.
You know, I've actually had a few folks ask about that, and I don't have necessarily a specific follow-up for this book. But one thing I did learn about myself in writing this was that I really do want to write something that is, you know, is very readable and consumable, like I said, but that does maybe touch on some bigger issues, that's doing some kind of social work. So I've been thinking about that, whether it's picking up on the lives of these specific characters, or I also like, as a reader, I really like series where it's not necessarily a direct series, but there's a book and then one of the characters who maybe wasn't a main character, like the author follows them next. And then one of those characters becomes the next book. So I've been thinking about that. Maybe there's somebody else's story to tell who's already in the cast of characters. So I've been tinkering with different ideas, but at this point it's all still tinkering.
We don't want to have another COVID breakout for you to find time to write.
No. let's hope that's not the case.
But I could see how that would work because even the little bits and pieces of the characters that you do, I mean, I'm really kind of leaning towards that. The lady who's the carpenter, I don't know, I've known a couple women carpenters, and they're just really, you know, kind of gung-ho people with that you don't expect in an environment of carpentry. But we are going to have to close. I always hate that part, but it's been good. So thank you so much, Temple, for joining me with this program. And then can you tell us a little bit how we can get in touch with you and get your book?
Sure. Also, again, the book is titled Not Quite Home, and it is available in a few different ways. I have a website that has some links to purchase on it and a little bit more information about the book. And that website is Temple Lentz Books, books with an S, because I'm optimistic there will be another one eventually, .com. So templelentzbooks.com. It's also available on Amazon and through my publisher's website, which is sibyllinepress.com. But I have a link on my site to go through them, to go there. So you don't have to remember how to spell Sibylline. It's available in paperback and in ebook. And also the audiobook just came out this January or February. So that's out there too, if you prefer to listen to your books.
Oh, great. So thanks so much, Temple. I have been talking with Temple Lentz. She's the author of Not Quite Home. It's an award-winning international debut novel that explores community, connection, and what it really means to create change. You can learn more about Temple and her work and find her book online. And if you'd like to meet authors like Temple in person, be sure to join us at the Northwest Book Fair and Media Fest. And also you can find out more about Temple from our own site, northwestbooktalk.com. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
You better work.
Discover our city's hidden gem, hiding right below the sidewalk. Underbar is a speakeasy-themed cocktail lounge located downtown Vancouver. As an LGBTQ-friendly and gay-owned space, it is a go-to destination for weekly events such as comedy, trivia, bingo, and open mic nights. Local artists are featured every first Friday of the month, and every fourth Sunday is Underbar's Underground Drag Brunch Show, 2 to 4 p.m. More information and location can be found at underbarvancouver.com. That's underbarvancouver.com.
The mission of Furry Friends is to rescue abused, abandoned, or otherwise homeless cats in the Vancouver-Portland area and house them in a safe, healthy, and socialized environment until they can find their new forever homes. Furry Friends is a Vancouver 501c3 nonprofit, volunteer-run, no-kill cat rescue and adoption organization. For more information about Furry Friends, please visit their website at furryfriendswa.org. furryfriendswa.org.
For over 20 years, Vancouver Family Magazine has been covering local news, recreation, travel, education, parenting, personalities, and more. We connect your family to people, places, ideas, organizations, helpful resources, and local stories. Pick up your copy every month at over 300 locations all around Clark County, or read online at VancouverFamilyMagazine.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X for even more local news and family fun at Vancouver Family.
Programming like this is made possible by support from High Five Cannabis, your local cannabis connection in Vancouver and Stevenson, Washington. High Five offers flower, concentrates, edibles, tinctures, topicals, and more. Whether you're new to cannabis or know what you need, their staff is available to assist. If you go to highfivecannabis.com, spelled H-I-G-H, the number 5, cannabis.com, you can learn about their specials like Munchy Monday, Senior Tuesdays, Waxy Wednesdays, and Loyalty Thursdays. Again, that's highfivecannabis.com. Come.